Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Woodford Reserve.
They sent us this. If you're watching on YouTube, it's a circle.
It's a circle. That's what we're just calling it. A circle.
It's a barrel top.
Thank you.
Matt,
why did you just save him?
It's not wrong. It is a circle.
It is a circle in shape. Very good. You know shapes. You're good today.
Oh, that's right. What's up? It's Monday. It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Ahmed Farid, Chris Sims are here. And yes, that was the ultra intelligence. And just unbelievable. I mean, your observing skills are really special.
Yeah.
Circles, wood, very good. Very
important. Learn very quickly in this business. If you don't know exactly what something is, who plays where, what their position is, you make it more generic.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't totally sure what this is.
Circle.
So I just called it a circle,
and
which
you
is
lied.
Not wrong.
You said I was going to have my emblem on there by this week.
Matt lied.
Where the fuck is my emblem?
Matt Casey lied.
Oh, you're right. The week isn't over.
And then Pete is speaking. Pete, our producer, by the way, because some people are coming late to the pod, and they go, who's Pete, who they keep talking about?
Yeah.
Producer Pete. Pete Demolitis.
Right.
And he says that it could come this week.
Yeah.
This week is long. It's just begun. But the circle is back. And
we're back. Yes.
And if you're if you're watching, you already know. But if you're listening, here's the cool thing. Chris is wearing his most famous top. I am wearing my most famous bottom.
Yes, you
so
are.
So if you may or may not, if you're a longtime listener.
Yeah, you know these outfits
you know what
well.
That is.
Right.
Chris is wearing his black and blue long sleeve tee.
My Star Trek shirt.
And I am wearing my red pants.
Yes, I know. This is one of my go-tos. I mean, I love this shirt.
Yes.
And really, if it wasn't so noticeable, I would wear it once every other week. It's one of those that, like, I wear it and I have to, like, file it away in my brain and go, okay, I wore it on this date. I got to wait at least 3 to 4 weeks before I can break it out again.
You wear it less often now.
I do.
Than you ever have before.
Yes, definitely. It's starting to lose, like, its integrity a little bit. Like, you know, it's kind of like a tight fit.
Yeah.
It's starting to get really baggy, and, like, I'm afraid it's coming to an end. And, of course, it's warmer weather out now.
It is.
So I don't need this type of shirt, but yeah.
But it rained. It's cooler today,
it
so
is.
You felt
I
like...
I brought it. It was 65 when I woke up, and I said, you know what? I got it one more time. I got two more weeks of PFT. I'm going to wear it out one more time. And apparently, what was your thought with your lobster Nantucket pants?
No,
what did you think today?
I haven't worn them in a long time because you scared me away from wearing them. You called them out every time. They're noticeable enough as it is.
Yeah.
When you call them out every time, even more noticeable. So it's like I have to have them on a two-month rotation.
Did you get new glasses?
No, these are the same glasses.
They're the same ones? I don't know why they seem different to me. Okay.
I haven't worn those in a while yet. I don't know. It's a whole new look today.
Okay, good. It's not a whole new look.
You're right.
But so you haven't worn them in a while?
I haven't.
Okay, maybe that's what it is. All right, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't totally off base there. All right, what else did you do this weekend before we start talking about football?
So here's the last thing.
Yeah?
Is that I went to bed so late last night because I was caught in a YouTube rabbit hole.
What?
And, I'm not a huge music guy. There is a free...
What are you a huge of?
Not much. Preparing for this pod.
Music? No. Movies? Yeah. Holy crap.
I'm an energy drink guy.
Yes, you
Pete
are.
Reminds me. There's this freestyle rapper. His name is Harry Mack. And I watched his videos until 2 in the morning. Like 2:30.
Harry Mack.
He can get three. Some people give him three words.
Yeah.
Random words.
Right.
And then he can take those words.
Yeah.
Instantly make a song.
Yeah.
With a beat. It's amazing. It might be the most impressive thing I've ever seen anyone do in my life.
I would like to. I'm going to check it out just because you say so.
Yeah.
Is he making albums or doing anything, or is he just good with this three-word thing?
He's good with the three-word thing.
He's good with the three-word thing.
He's got a quick mind.
Yeah.
He's
well, I would think like all great rappers can do that to a degree, right? Wouldn't you think? Like, wouldn't you think?
No.
Maybe not to that point, but like Jay-Z's famous for not writing his music down. He goes off the top of his head.
He just remembers it.
And they do it. He just, you know, flow. He's famous for like, let me hear it, let me think about it a little, and then he can spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think some of the good ones can do it, but not all, like
it's
you're saying.
It's like Peyton Manning at the line, just goes Omaha. He didn't plan that. He just came right off the top of his mind. Have you ever done anything like that? Because everyone has a stage in their life where they're like, I could probably do that.
Right. You mean like flow and do that?
Flow,
like grab,
freestyle,
do all that?
Yeah.
So like when I was in Texas, right, that's all guys wanted to do. It became popular. It's early 2000s, freestyling. And if ever, you know, back at that time, you know, hey, of course, Scarface and Houston, Lil Flip, all these guys are all famous for their ability to flow and do that.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming to Texas, and there's this thing called screw music. You know screw music where they like, they slow it down.
Okay.
You know, like that?
Yep.
They call that screw music because
like
DJ Low Rider, Screw.
Like kind of like
it's kind of
song.
That. Yeah, DJ Screw started it, so they call it screw music, right? And DJ Screw's, he's passed away, RIP. But either way, that's all guys used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sims knows his lane. He knows his strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
So I'd love to sit there and watch everybody do it. Never did I even like attempt to throw out some rhymes or anything like that.
White guy from New Jersey.
Right. Now, there was other white guys doing it, but they made fools of themselves.
Did Kyle do it?
Kyle did. He did every now and then. Yeah, definitely. No doubt about it. The guy loves Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I mean, so yes, Kyle could throw out some rhymes.
Next time you talk to him, maybe he wants to revisit it.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Definitely
right,
not.
So check out Harry Mack. He's amazing. But maybe not as amazing at you as you at doing a quarterback countdown. Man, that might have been
that
my
was
worst
a good
transition.
One. Honestly, you know, you've given me compliments before.
Yes.
But to compare me to Harry Mack, that was, now I'm really high up.
You feel
up
ready
here.
To go and ready to break down these next four quarterbacks.
Yes.
So we're going to do that. We're going to get through the final eight of the Super Brawl.
So I can't wait for the Super Brawl.
Who is the quarterback-coach combo who would destroy the rest of the league? Who's number one? We're going to reveal that.
I can't wait. This is awesome. Because then when it's done, too, I think I might have fun picking apart your rankings, too.
I think so.
Okay,
I think you will. But I'm going to be way more confident about them this time than I ever have before.
Yeah, okay.
But first things first, we're getting 12, 11, and 10, and 9.
Whoa, top 10-ish here.
This is, in partnership with Woodford Reserve Bourbon, the Sims Top 40 Quarterback Countdown. And I want to add something. You can buy something that you'll want to see Dad open this Father's Day, Woodford Reserve Bourbon. Find your dad's Woodford Reserve bottle at your local retailer or have it delivered today by Drizzly. So Drizzly could just walk up and hand it to him.
I don't think you can like really be wrong by getting a gift like that for your dad, grandfather, anybody like that. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be used. Whether they're going to drink it or it's going to get broken out at some party, whatever.
Yes.
I'm down for that, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. He'll either drink it himself or feel cool giving it to one of his
friends. Yeah, exactly right. Right. Woodford Reserve, Father's Day. I mean, yeah, I don't even know. You know, this was funny about Father's Day, though. I always get a kick out of this because, like, Mother's Day is talked about for 2 to 3 weeks leading up to it.
Yes.
Like, the whole family gets involved.
Yeah.
I haven't heard one fucking peep about Father's Day.
They're hoping
you
just don't know that it's Father's Day.
I'm actually hoping they forget. I really am.
Yeah.
It would be great to have that and be like, I mean, I didn't even remember. Like, and I don't know. There's a chance. Our life is so busy right now. I think there's a chance my wife might forget this week.
It's pretty forgettable of all like the days, right?
Yes.
Our day goes by the wayside.
Without a doubt. Nobody cares.
But
about
if they
Father's
do forget,
day.
Then you can forget a birthday or Mother's Day in the future. That does give you license
it
to
would.
Do that.
It
so
would.
That would
yeah,
be
Father's
big.
Day is
that
weird.
Would be
big. That's right. Everyone's just like, we're just going to leave him alone and let him sit on the couch
That's what
today.
He wants, right? Go golf by himself.
Go
it's like,
sit
you
by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine if we did that for Mother's Day.
No, I want
Mother's
some
day,
gifts.
Right?
I want things. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we do that, though. We can spa day or whatever for Mother's Day. But all right, it's Father's Day coming up. Get him some Woodford Reserve or get his team a good quarterback. And we're in the top 12 now. So these are all really good quarterbacks.
Yes, they are.
But I think there's going to still be some interesting conversations and some controversy, perhaps, with this four. We'll start with number 12. And number 12 is
Ryan Tannehill. Tennessee Titans. That's right, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you know, where do you want to start with Ryan Tannehill? I think the thing that I always want to just jump out and say for him is maximization, never leaving yards out on the field. That's where Ryan Tannehill is the best to me. He takes advantage of every little big play that's there to be had in football. I could sit here and argue that I think he's maybe one of the best deep ball throwers in football. I would sit here and argue it. I'd say he's one of the most accurate 10-plus yard throwers of the football out of anybody in the sport. Not only just because he gets the completions, but it's like you always hear me talk about this. If a guy's open for a 60-yard touchdown on a deep post route, he doesn't throw at 45 and the guy gets tackled at the 8-yard line and, ooh, maybe we get a touchdown, maybe we kick a field goal. He puts it on the money and it's touchdowns. It's deep crossers going across the field. They don't have to stop or regather or do anything. They get to go full speed because he puts it on the money. A.J. Brown never breaks stride. That leads to big yards after the catch. I think that's the biggest thing I look at with Ryan Tannehill and the biggest positives about his game. And he's just gotten better and better and, of course, is in a great offense and a great fit for him, along with being a really good athlete, too. I mean, again, it's 33 touchdowns. It's 7 interceptions. It's top 5 quarterback rating. It's 7 rushing touchdowns to go along with it. We're talking about a really good football player, a guy here that you could certainly justify being in the top 10. I have him at 12 because there's 12 fucking good quarterbacks in football right now, like real good ones. More than that. You know that. Baker Mayfield was 13 the mm-hmm. other day. So I hold this guy in high regard. It wasn't easy putting him outside the top 10, really, because I think he's underrated and underappreciated in a lot of people's eyes throughout the league and the public.
Yeah, and you mentioned the running there. That's not something that pops into people's head when they think about Ryan Tannehill anymore,
right.
But Pro Football Focus noted his legs and key situations being a big part of his value.
Definitely.
You're right. He throws the ball deep downfield. I'm a big next-gen guy.
Yeah.
He was third last year in completed air yards per attempt behind Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson. 2019, he was fourth behind Stafford, Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott. So consistently in this offense for Tennessee, he has thrown the ball down the
field.
That
was what? That was that yards per what? Was that yards per completion?
Air yards completion. Per attempt.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so completions. Yeah,
yeah,
these aren't even just, you know, trying for those long completions.
I love that stat, and I think that is the thing. I mean, yards per completion, he's up there towards the top of football. He's with all the best quarterbacks, and I didn't break them all down with my calculator and get to that, but I know, like, yards per completion, he was north of 12 yards.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of guys in football that are like that, and I think what's even more impressive to add to your stat and what you're saying here is, when you play the Tennessee Titans, you know that's what they're going to do. They're not a dink and dunk team. They're not looking to throw wide receiver screens. You literally come into the game going, they're going to run the ball, and they're going to take shots down the field with Ryan Tannehill. And he still delivers. And I think that's where, like, he is phenomenal that way. He's pinpoint that way. He's tough in the pocket. We talked about his athletic ability to run and do those things. Yeah, he adds to the run game. And then, of course, he can scramble. You know, so that's the big thing you look at. He's clutch. He really is. I mean, really, in any close game you can think about with the Tennessee Titans over the last years, if they need a late score, something like that, he's delivered. Now, maybe they haven't always won because their defense might have let somebody score and do things like that too. But you see here, like, if you're watching on YouTube, the stats are legit. The only thing that's not impressive there is passing yards per game, which, again, yeah, there's some games where, you know, they run the ball great. They're not overly complicated with their offensive scheme and things like that. So there can be some stale moments. And I think that's why he's number 12 to me. Okay, that's where if we're going to get to the only negatives, we talked about his athletic ability and things like that. But I think the one thing that jumped out to me when I went back and watched him was, not like it's Daniel Jones in the pocket, like, you know, you got to be a statue. He's not that. But I guess what I'm saying is he has more to offer within movement in the pocket and extending plays outside the pocket. I think that's an area of his game that he could, you know, bring to the next level or raise it or whatever you want to say in that normal cliche, that I think can make their offense more dangerous, make him a better player. You know, there's too many moments during the year where, you know, whether it was the Cleveland game or the Colts game or even the Packers game where they are, you know, listen, their team, their defense stunk. So let's think about that too. He always had to have, like, he had to answer the bell a lot. But in some of those games, like, He's too talented to be down 28-7 and things like that. Make a few plays. Make a few throws. Start pushing the limit a little bit about, like, okay, hey, the offense isn't delivering. I got to get out of the pocket and buy some time. You know, I'm not going to let my team go down 3 touchdowns here. See, that's to me where, like, you get in the top quarterbacks in football, like Allen, Mahomes, Rodgers, those kind of guys, mm-hmm. they know when that point is to go, okay, wait, the offense isn't really working. We're down by 2. Oh, God, we're down by 3 touchdowns. I got to start making it happen. I got to start doing something. I got to get out of the realm of the playbook and the scheme and just do it to jumpstart the team. And that, to me, could be the only thing I could nitpick about him to where maybe he's not as good as some of the other top quarterbacks in football.
Well, because you've been high on him in the past. Last year you had him 11th, and so he's right about where he was last year. Like you said, a lot of good quarterbacks. Some guys have moved up. We'll still talk about them coming up here. Now, I already can see what people are going to say about Ryan Tannehill. They're going to say he has the most elite running back in the league in Derrick Henry. They have more play-action yards than anyone else out there. They have an offensive system that makes it easy on him. Derrick Henry makes it easy on him. However, the counterpoint to that, first, before you give your counterpoint, and I think this is really telling. Pete supplied a graphic for us. Kristen, do we have it? Derrick Henry with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry without Ryan Tannehill. So you see, with him, they have run him more, and there's been more rush yards per game. But this was a deadspin story that I read on this. In the 6 weeks prior to Tannehill taking over the starting quarterback job in 2019, Derrick Henry was averaging just 3.68 yards per attempt, not against great rushing defenses either. Afterwards, he averaged 5.92 yards per attempt. So who is making who better? Is it Tannehill making Henry better? Henry making Tannehill better?
Yeah, I mean, Henry's the go-to guy, but it does play hand in hand. It's a great stat right there because the quarterbacks beforehand weren't making teams defend the whole field, not have to worry about the deep post and the go routes that we just talked about where it's like, man, if we leave them just the slightest bit open, he's going to put it on them. They're going to score a touchdown. It's going to be like, oh, there goes A.J. Brown. See you later. I mean, so, yes, it does play hand in hand. Because with Tannehill, there's no wasted yards or plays on the field. It's always about maximization. And that's where when you have a good running back like that, a guy that can throw the ball deep down the field and has got the patience in the pocket to wait for those things to develop, and he throws the ball under pressure so well and things like that, that's where it's dangerous. So, yeah, listen, I understand you could say that, but, I mean, no, you can't say that because we saw another quarterback before him who couldn't deliver and couldn't make the offense the way it was. That's why, if you remember back at that time, I said Ryan Tannehill would end up starting before that year was over, that he would beat out Marcus Mariota. And, yeah, I know they have Derrick Henry in that, but I can also sit here and go, they're not, like, just wow with talent in the pass game. Corey Davis, that was the first year last year he popped up. You know, A.J. Brown's amazing. I get that. He's really good. The system that what we're talking about, too, is not necessarily like, oh, wow, this is cutting edge. Oh, my gosh, post and deep cross after play action? Mm-hmm. Oh, post corner and deep cross after play action? So, you know, it's his talents that are also opening the offense and allow them to call simple plays because they just go, let's just make it simple. He's a really good thrower. Our guy's pretty good. He'll get open by enough. He'll get him the ball by enough. And then it also adds to, oh, now we can throw these routes that we might have not done before with another quarterback, but this guy can pump it out there and do those type of things. So, yes, it's not fair to say, like, oh, he's got Derrick Henry, to your point. I like that stat. My only thing with him, like I said, is just stale moments, franchise-type quarterback, mm-hmm. what you are. I think he could have some moments of where he carries the team a little bit more. And just, you know, I don't want to say backyard football, but you know what I'm saying that way.
So you're going to – I got a couple comments here. You're going to disagree with this one.
Yeah.
Rene DeTore, 17, just what we talked about. Without Henry, Tannehill is below average. Honestly, when you have a 2,000-yard back, those wide-open play-action passes could be completed by a high schooler.
Yeah, that's like – so, I mean, we're just going to take away every quarterback that ever had a good running game in the history of football and take him away. And that's where it's just ridiculous. It goes hand in hand. It's just like you just talked about. I mean, we saw, you know, it's not as good until he got in there and got into the game. And, you know, what are you going to tell me? Like, Troy Aikman opened up holes for Emmitt Smith. You know, you can go through time and do it the same way. I mean, you can go through a lot of quarterbacks. You sit here and go, Peyton Manning had Adrian James or Reggie Wayne, who would have won games and thrown? Like, no. It's about your ability to capitalize off of that and do those things that way. So, no, I don't agree with that assessment at all.
Motivate 1,800. Yeah. What happened, though, in the playoffs when the Ravens keyed in on Henry and made Tannehill beat them, and he couldn't do it? He looked real pedestrian.
Well, listen, the Ravens are good. I mean, that's one of the better teams in football the last 2 years. They didn't make it look – what happened in the year before in the playoffs when Tannehill torched that Ravens for some big touchdowns to win the game? You know, this year the Ravens got them. The Ravens are good. They got Marlon Humphrey, and they're the world leader in badass motherfuckers in the front seven. I mean, they lead the world every year in the baddest motherfuckers on the planet. So he beat the Ravens in Baltimore last year. Yeah, they lost a playoff game that was very close against, and this year where I go, a team that was motivated by a pregame scuffle the first time around, right, where they lost, okay? And then in this game, Tannehill wasn't at his best. They have great corners. You know, it's the third time in the calendar year they've played them. They were all over their stuff. And that's where it brings me back to, like, you see, their offense is not cutting edge that way. It's a little bit more of like, we got some good X's and O's, but we need the Jimmys and Joes to be real, real good to make it happen. And that to me, you're discrediting what he's done and what they're all about if you're just going to boil it down to, anybody could do it with Derrick Henry.
The last point is how much better he could be, how much better the offense will be with Julio Jones this year. Caleb Beard says, hey, guys, love the pod. Been trying to explain how Tannehill's arm is stronger than Orion's without putting him in the Mahomes and Allen arm strength tier. What opportunities do you see Julio getting from Tannehill that he was not getting with Ryan? And before you answer, there was a tweet out there from Ryan Tannehill. The moment he realized that he was getting Julio Jones as an offensive weapon, if you're watching on YouTube, he is amazing. Happy. He is shocked.
Shocked.
And he is ready to go.
I know that because he does an interview, I think, like a few minutes after this. It's one of the first interviews he did.
Yeah.
So this is really cool. And Jim Wyatt, great sports writer down there in the Nashville.
Oh, you know Jim.
I do know Jim.
Cool.
Jim's an awesome dude. He's all over anything with the Titans. And this was a funny tweet. It really was. Yeah, I mean, that would be my reaction, too, if I knew they signed Julio Jones and I was the quarterback of a team. Then if you kept the video rolling there, I would have done cartwheels and backflips and been running around and doing all kinds of crazy things.
So it's two things. They add Julio, but they lose Arthur Smith. The guy that's been masterminding the offense here the last couple of years.
I don't think much is going to change, nonetheless. I mean, they're still going to play run the ball, bully football, play action pass. That's why the trade is great. That's why it really is. And, you know, again, we talked about this at the time. I mean, yes, we know you want to run the ball. Oh, yes, we know to defend it, you want to add an extra guy in the box to stop it. Well, like, you know, again, it's not a complicated formula. But you got two guys like that on the outside who are real game breakers, and his ability, how he like never misses on deep ball throws. And yes, to our questions point, what was his name?
Caleb.
Like, yeah, Ryan Tannehill's arm is stronger than Matt Ryan. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. So, you know, yes, I think they're going to be able to maximize. They're going to put more stress on defense and defending the whole field. You know, and of course, even like, hey, we want to stop the run. We got an extra guy in the box. We're going to tell our corners to play off so we can keep Julio and AJ in front of us. There's a lot of benefit there, too. No, now you're going to play way off, and now he's going to throw a 10-yard curl route. Now you're going to have to tackle Julio and AJ one-on-one. How's that going to work? There's so many benefits to the style of football they play, and it really benefits the quarterback, too, who's really good at taking advantage of one-on-one big play opportunities down the field.
Would be very surprising if they weren't one of the best offenses once again in the year 2021.
Second
Tennessee Titans
last year.
Ryan Tannehill. And before we end it, we got to give love again to Dr. Babies. And there is, this could be our first ever merch. We showed this last week, but we might have to get this made. If you're not watching on YouTube, it says it's a t-shirt with a Titans logo in the front. It's 2021. Ryan Tannehill's good. Move the F on. Chris Sims unbuttoned.
I think we could get this going. I got some connection in Nashville, right? I lived there for a few years.
You're right.
We can get them down there. I mean, and at Dr. Babies, I like the way you did it. I want the writing on there. I don't even want it to look professional. I like your Sharpie skills. They're kind of good. Can you find a way to replicate like maybe 1,000 more of those and we'll try to make some money? But yeah, I think that's like, yes, like get over it, please. Last time I'm going to say it. Like, get over your narrative that's old and outdated and stupid from 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 years in a row of premium Pro Bowl caliber type of quarterback play from Ryan Tannehill. Right. And now it's overrated. Like, get out of here. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's just take it for what it is.
Caught in the past.
He's been one of the best offenses in football. He's one of the best downfield throwers in football. He's one of the better quarterbacks in our game.
All right. If you really want to leap into the future, though, you can jump on the back of our next quarterback, number 11 on your list, who moved up from 37th last year. This is the biggest leap of any quarterback in the Chris Sims top 40 this year. That player is?
Justin Herbert. That's right. Oh, big Justin Herbert. Nope, he didn't fall off any treadmills this year. He's still running. He's doing good. Look at that big sucker right there. Big soldier in the pocket. As I've told you with everyone, I go back, I start to watch just the right ideas, jot things, do things like that, and I just come back and just go, like, holy cow. Holy cow, Batman. It's just one unreal throw after another from Justin Herbert. His arm is unreal strong, and he can do it with great ease. I think that's the thing that you just got to talk about right away. It's already one of the five best arms and throwers maybe in football. I think he's right there in that conversation for, like, what he can do as far as, you know, down the field throwing, accuracy in the intermediate short game. You know, it's a pretty quick release. It's not the quickest. It's probably something he can improve on a little bit. But, like, you know, you talk about all of those things, the elite throwing ability, the accuracy and everything like that. And then, like, also the ability to where, you know, I could sit here and say, with people around him and in the trash, he's already one of the best in football at that.
Hmm.
You know, the pocket collapsing. He's so big and just such a big man, he can throw over pressure like big quarterbacks we've seen, whether it's Cam Newton or Brady and Peyton Manning. So, oh, people are in his face, and people are like, oh, quarterbacks never like when, you know, there's a pass rush in their face. Yeah, of course they don't. But, like, guys like him, yeah, it's in their face, and they can still see 15, 20 yards down the field and make the appropriate throw. That's the amazing thing. Back foot throws with people in his face that way. Unreal. Another guy that's an incredible athlete and can get out of the pocket and make big-time throws on the run. I'll say, like Tannehill, I think an area of improvement is he could expand his, you know, extending the plays a little bit to a degree. You know, he can do that. But, man, just an unbelievable rookie year by him. They put a lot on his plate. He delivered in a lot of big ways throughout the year. And, yeah, he's a rising superstar in our league right now.
Yeah, I think we have his rookie records. He threw for over 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, just 10 interceptions. The 10 interceptions tied for 54th. It was a 1.68 interception percentage, fifth lowest in NFL history. So he threw the ball a ton, did not give it away a ton. I mean, that's incredible for a rookie quarterback. And of all the things I look back at, Anthony Lynn's now the offensive coordinator with the Lions. I'm like, man, did they get enough credit for what they did with a rookie quarterback? Obviously, a lot of it is Justin Herbert, and we'll see how that continues with a new regime. But, man, they brought no one has ever brought along a rookie quarterback like that.
No, you're right. I mean, there's a lot to be really proud of about what they did last year and Anthony Lynn and the whole organization. The problem is, yeah, they went 7-9, and we saw three or four games where they just messed it up at the end, at least three or four, to where we just go, what? Like, what are you doing here? Why'd you do this? What was that? So some of that stuff you're talking about that were positives kind of got, you know, lost in the shuffle because the negatives were so, like, glaring and clock mismanagement and doing things like that to where you just couldn't get over it. So I know it's a fine line. It's one of those last year where it's like, man, I don't really want to see Anthony Lynn get fired. He's done a lot of really good things with their football team.
And I'm sure Herbert didn't either. I mean, that year went about as well as it could have. So former Saints quarterback coach Joe Lombardi,
yeah,
the new OC, Former 49ers quarterback coach Shane Day is the new quarterback's coach with the Chargers. I wonder how that will change things with him.
To me, that's the million-dollar question. I'd have a hard time bringing in a new offensive coordinator. I would have. I probably would have. It was the guy that was there was Shane Steichen, right? I just want to make sure I'm saying his name right. He's with Philadelphia now, I believe. I just want to make sure I got that right. Right,
Pete's on the pronunciation.
Yeah. But I would have been one that would have been probably doing anything I could have done to keep the same offensive staff together. I don't know what went on there. You know, I really don't. I haven't heard. I had heard that Herbert, you know, certainly vouched for the prior staff that was there on the offensive side of the ball, but I don't know that for sure. So yeah. We're going to see. But either way, Joe Lombardi, hey, listen, he knows offense. We know that. He's going to have a plan. He's going to teach Justin Herbert a lot of different things from the Sean Payton offense and things like that to where I would still expect the offense to be great. I really would. Herbert, you know, a little bit like Ryan Tannehill in the fact of, you know, there has to be a little bit more of an awareness of where the game is at and where it's at. Like, you can't just let a team just blow you out and just go, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and I'm going to play my role. I think there's a little bit of, like, I'd like to see a little bit more leadership, edginess about him. And, yeah, just a better feel of, again, like we've talked about with some of the great quarterbacks in our game, of when to know, okay, wait, there's play in the game, and now, wait, I got to do something else here. The game's not going right. I'm trying to do what Coach said. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're playing a B-minus football game today. I got to do something to kind of jumpstart us and do that. That would be really my only negatives of him. There was a little bit of all-overness when I went back and watched in some games where I just went, oh, man, this game he's a little conservative, and there's people downfield open. The next game, it was maybe the opposite. It was like an overcorrection where you'd watch, and you'd go, well, now he's forcing the ball down the field, and you wish he would throw the ball underneath a little bit. Mm-hmm. But still, nothing concerning. The guy's a superstar in the making.
Could all be chalked up to a rookie quarterback learning and maybe not feeling like he could do some of those things that a veteran quarterback could do. I think one thing that stands out, and a lot of places have looked at, is what he was able to do under pressure last year. Because he was hurried more than any other quarterback in football last year. 85 hurries, I was looking at Pro Football Reference. That was 10 more than second place, 20 more than Russell Wilson in third place. So he was hurried a lot, and he did really, really well. You see all those pressures in clean pocket. So it wasn't that he was just pressured a lot. He did really well when he was pressured. Where are the stats I have on it? This was from Touchdown Wire over at USA Today.
Yeah.
When pressured in 2020, Herbert had 1,500 yards, 875 air yards, so about half of them were through the air, not just yards after the catch, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, a league-high passer rating of 96 when he was pressured. And he was pressured a lot.
A lot. That's why I started out with his arm and his ability to throw over people and make big throws with the pocket collapsing off his back foot. Oh, they're going to hit me in the face. Zoom, 60-yard bomb down the middle against Tampa Bay. Oh, all-out pressure. Zoom, oh, 60-yard post down the middle against New Orleans. Oh, another all-out blitz. Oh, I'll just outrun everybody to the edge here. Find somebody on the run. You know, I don't know. I can't remember if you were there. There was a time during the year last year where I was literally yelling at defenses, the Saints being one of them. I'm like, why are you blitzing the guy? You're making, like, this is the rookies can't handle the blitz. That was cool 22 years ago. That's fucking over now as some of these NFL defensive coordinators.
You know what's funny about that, too? Because one of the knocks on him is that when he wasn't pressured, he still, it was like a hot potato. It was like he still was like making a, and then some of the pre-snap reads weren't good enough to where the guy wasn't open. He's still getting rid of it right away.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I was just trying to say before. Yeah. Just like when the offense, like there's times where you go back and watch, you go, hey, this guy's open underneath here and he's forcing it downfield. Or now he's getting aggressive, or now he's throwing it underneath, you know, because the coach has gone, hey, you missed some guys open. And that you're like, oh, no, he's down the field. He had it. Yeah. He thrived against the pressure all year last year. This is where I think, especially with the new modern day quarterback that's coming in the NFL, which is a little more athletic, right? And we're seeing big arms and not afraid to throw it sidearm and on the run and
can make
those
the first guy miss and then throw it sidearm.
Exactly right. Like, you're making the game easier for him by blitzing him. You're not making him read anything.
Yeah.
Or diagnose what's going on here. Oh, wait, this. Oh, I have to go over here and think about what this is. Wait, that's where the rookie's negative. When you blitz him, he's just going, wait, where's my best player? I'm going to throw it one-on-one. Oh, wait, this guy's not blocked. Let me run away from him and see what happens. You make the game easier. That's a great easy thought process.
Yeah.
I'm going to get hit. Let me find a one-on-one. I'm going to get hit. That guy's beating him. Let me throw it far so my guy can get it. Like, that's where people drop the ball. And, yeah, he answered that bell more times than not. And I think that's what teams started to do a little,
yeah,
you know, towards the end of the year, is try to play coverage on him a little bit more.
That's what I'm going to ask you. Is that where it could go wrong for him? Outside of the new offensive coordinator, new system perhaps, is it that teams back off and he's not able to surgically pick apart some of these defenses?
Yeah, that's where he's got to grow. He didn't have an offense in college that was like that, right? That's, you knew that was my negative, that their offense in college. And then that's where they're going to have to get better at the run game too. Because, yeah, people this year are going to go back when they play the Chargers. They're going to watch last year's film, watch his throws, and go, wait, we're stupid if we, like, blitz this guy or give him one-on-one opportunities down the field over and over. He's going to hit it. So, yeah, let's make them read. Let's see if they can actually run the football and bring us up to do those type of things. But either way, even if he slips, I can't imagine a lot of slippage, you know, a sophomore slump or anything like that. He's too smart. He's got too great control of the football. He's too big. He's just got too much talent, you know, bar none. That's really all there is to it. And I expect him to be a star for a long time.
One of the up-and-coming stars in the NFL, franchise quarterback for the Chargers. They have a good one.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And now it takes us to our top 10. Our top 10 quarterbacks, which is a good time to stop down and talk about another quarterback who didn't make this list.
Yeah.
And he's the Super Bowl winning quarterback from last year, Tom Brady. Explain. No, just kidding. He has made it into the top 10. Tom Brady has cracked the top 10 of the Chris Sims top 40 countdown.
That's right. Tom Brady, number 10, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Booyah. That's right, Tom. Put that trophy in everybody's face and say, screw you. Screw you, Chris Sims, for not having me in the top 10 for a while.
You had him 15 last year.
Yeah.
You had him 9 in 2019.
Right. And I think last year when we did the updated, like, Week 10 rankings, you know, I had him right around 12 or 13, somewhere in there. You know, it just, again, through 10 weeks last year, it wasn't exactly great all the time. That's you know, we can't forget that. There was some games lost and some sloppy play that were definitely Tom Brady's fault. Now, listen, you give some wiggle room, I know. But we saw a different Tom Brady last year. We saw a different one. And anybody that's been listening to me, you know what I'm talking about here. Like, Brady's arm's never been the question. The last few years in New England, you know my complaints about him. Unwillingness to stand in there in the pocket, take hits, do things to throw the ball down the field. Now, he had a great, great pass protection last year and, of course, had weapons and everything else. But to me, that's where he redefined himself. That's why they won the Super Bowl. Because he was willing to stand in there in the pocket and push the ball down the field. His arm is still a big-time arm. And they became a dangerous football team when he started to go, you know what, I will stand back here and pat the ball an extra time and throw it to throw a 40-yard rifle to Evans, or hit, you know, Miller on a deep go route, or Gronk down the middle. And that's when they became really a Super Bowl contender. To me, it goes into that second half of the Atlanta game in Atlanta. I want to say it's around week 12 or 13, but they were losing 17-0 at half, and then they were never the same offense after. They came out in the second half, and they were like, let's just protect Brady, and let's throw the ball down the field. And they were never the same. And he caught on fire. His arm is still phenomenal. And listen, his talent, it's not as good as Ryan Tannehill or Justin Herbert. But as you've heard me say a lot of times through this year, I gave a little bit more to leadership and edge and things like that. Your team's belief because of you. That's where Brady's special. He's the greatest leader in the history of the sport. We've heard all the stories and all of that. But they believed even when things weren't good last year because of one guy. Because, hey, we still got him. He'll figure it out. And we'll come together and do all these type of things. So that's where, you know, his throwing, his aggressive mindset, he's still awesome in the pocket. But the big thing to me more than anything is he played tougher. He played tougher. He just said, fuck you. I'm going to throw a rifle. I'm going to wait here. I'm going to take the hit and do that. And that's when they were dangerous, and that's when he was at his best. His arm is still top-notch in football. It's still a really great arm.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the more surprising things. We'll get into the deep passing in a second. But I think now is a good time to reemphasize what this list is all about for you, because you just said all those positive things about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And all people are going to look at, or some people are going to look at the 10 and be like, how is he not 2 or 3? He just went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and won them a Super Bowl in his first year, in a year where they didn't have a regular offseason. I mean, he could go to any team and instantly make them a Super Bowl contender.
That's not true.
So how is he not in the top 10? To reemphasize, what you're doing is taking every quarterback, putting him on an average team with average weapons, an average coach, and saying which one's going to win the most games.
Yes.
And you think there are 9 other quarterbacks who will win more games than Tom Brady.
I do. Yes, at this point of his career, I do. Yeah, but I mean, still, again, I don't know. I sit here and maybe I'm crazy, and most people think, when I mean, you're 43 and you're the 10th best quarterback in football, there's something to be said about that.
Exactly.
It's really impressive. I mean,
it's amazing. Not more than impressive. Like, unheard of, amazing, never been done before.
Never done. I don't think we're going to ever see it again, at least for a while. Yeah. I don't give a damn how much sports science is out there right now. This is special. It really is. And, you know, again, you know, like I said, there's guys behind him that have more talent. I know that. I'm giving him the advantage because of experience, leadership, you know, the edge he brings to a football team, that belief and all that.
Value as a recruiter, too.
Exactly. I mean, right. So there's a lot of things there. You're exactly right. So I gave him the edge over those other guys. Yeah, what I'm telling you is some of the guys that are in front of him, I don't think his edge and experience makes up enough for me to put him in front of those guys. Mm-hmm. That's not a knock. But, like, listen, you know, hey, he makes very few plays off schedule, too, if we're going to hit on the negatives. There's very few. You know, he still moves in the pocket well, but if nobody's open and the pocket's collapsed, like, the play's over. You know, and there's, of course, quarterbacks in front of him where I go, oh, no, not the play's not over for these guys. In fact, it's watch the fuck out. I bet you something good's going to happen. That's where it's like a different world now in football. But, man, I mean, still seeing the field well, still a good decision maker. Adjusted his game to be more aggressive, a little tougher in the pocket, and really threw the ball as good as I've ever seen him throw it, especially the last 6-8 weeks of the year. I mean, I can think of that post down the middle in Atlanta to Michael Evans. I think he got down to the 1-yard line. I mean, he threw a 40-yard ball that was 6 feet off the ground the whole way. You know, the touchdown that you've heard my dad wax poetically about in the Super Bowl, where he's in the pocket and he hits Gronk in the back right of the, you know.
Right.
That was off, like, off rhythm. The play was over. He had good protection. He just kind of hung in there. And I feel like old Brady would have been panicking and patting the ball and just throwing the ball away, or been looking for the back. That's what we would have saw from 2019 Brady. That's why he was 15 for me. But last year he went, wait, down the field's not open. He didn't start flinching and doing that. He just went, wait, where's Gronk? I'm going to throw a rifle. Zoom, rifle in the back of the end zone. Perfect throw. So, man, I know people don't think I like him, but I do. He's a baller.
And I'll throw the flip side of it. He can't do that without a good offensive line.
No,
right?
Yeah,
so you put him on an average team with
say.
A bad offensive
exactly
line. You saw
right.
some of it in New England. Like, all of a sudden, he it's not
well, like, let's
there.
Just, like, we talked about a little.
Which
and
is
again,
the danger. He didn't have.
I know. You're
you,
right.
You don't want to crush it. Well, let me give you something positive
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you get into maybe something more negative. Well, I know you don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't. I was just going to say, like what if you just, the Super Bowl, if we just switched the quarterbacks, what does everybody think would have happened?
Yeah.
Do you really think Brady would have been able to survive that onslaught of pressure
great point.
And things like that and run around
yep.
and even make the game semi-competitive like
injuries
Patrick
on the
Mahomes.
Offensive line for
yeah,
the Chiefs.
Yeah, right. I mean, again, it's not a knock on Brady. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that. It's just where he is in his career at this point.
Because there were things that were surprising. You already touched on it.
Yeah.
The deep passing.
Ooh.
And there was a time in his career where it was like, he's not going to be a good deep passer. And then you have last year where he was one of the better deep passers. Kristen, do we have that? Have we shown that already? Brady deep passing versus 2019 versus 2020 to see how much better he was with Tampa than he was New England. If you're watching on YouTube, you see it right
wow.
here. Some more attempts with Tampa. Completion percentage about the same, but the passing yards, a giant leap in passing yards with Tampa Bay. 91 attempts going deep. That led the NFL, Pete notes in my ear. And a lot of those, and you saw the ones in the playoffs too, were clutch. Huge time, huge big time throws. Even the one in Green Bay where the guys open the end of the half. I mean, that is on the money.
On the money. Clutch as hell. You're right. There's no doubt about it. Scotty Miller down the left sideline, dumbest yeah. defense we've ever seen, but that
right.
was still a great
you
throw.
You still have to hit it, and he
that's
did
what
in
I mean.
Stride. Yeah.
He did. He had so many big throws throughout the year. He did. You know, and even having the guts, like, in the Green Bay game, there was a point where it might have been 14-10. It was like a 3rd-and-15. He got a little pressure, and he threw a jump ball up to Chris Godwin down the middle. And Darnell Savage was back there in perfect spot, but Godwin got it. Old Brady wouldn't have done that. He'd have been, I'm not sure if that's going to be complete. I don't know. I don't know. But it's like, no, you got players here. Go, do mm-hmm. it. So, I mean, listen, the stats, they're better, yes, because he was on a better team with more talent. There's no doubt about that. You know, but at the same time, his throwing was better. And from those 2019 stats, you know, what people won't realize totally is there was a little bit more there to be had. That was always my argument in the 2019. There was always a handful of plays every game where I go, ooh, if he just hung in there,
yeah.
he's going to hit a 30-yarder. Ooh, if he just is a little more aggressive with his mindset here, the guy's got, you know, he's got a go route down the right sideline, but he's already come off it and looked for a shorter route. You know, some of that is his team and his talent and lack of trust and those things, but to like what you said, that hasn't been a strength of his. And that's where it's amazing. It's like he remade himself. It's like he had the pressure of Bruce Arians and Leftwich and no mm-hmm. risk it, no biscuit, and he just battled through it to where he became the guy they wanted him to become, and that's where it wins you a Super Bowl.
So last thing, looking forward now, and we have Tom Brady's 2020. He had the most blank since, so touchdown passes, fewest interceptions. I think we have that graphic here, Kristen, of how good that was for Tom Brady last year. And he had a knee injury, too, we learned about.
Yeah.
I don't know how significant it was, but significant enough to have off-season knee surgery. So you see his completions were his most since 2015. His touchdown passes were his most since 2007 when he threw for 50 touchdowns in that historic season with New England.
It's the most he's had since 2000.
So more interceptions.
That's
so
good.
He was throwing the ball. You're
that means
right.
they're more dangerous.
Risk it, biscuit.
Right.
So, okay.
Game-winning drive. That's a surprising one. That 3 game-winning drives, the most he's had since 2013.
That's true.
That's actually yeah. like, that's maybe the most shocking stat there.
That's a good point.
But, you know, listen, I like the 12 interception thing.
Sure.
You know me. You've heard me say that before. If he threw 4 interception, 5 interception, I'm gonna go, he's not being aggressive enough.
Yeah.
You know, their offense, it's going to lend itself to a few of those picks. Because just the way they play, the coach, everything about it, you got to take a few chances every now and then. Just go, oh, man, he's not open, but he's Mike Evans. I'm going to throw it and see if he can make a play. That can lead to interceptions at times.
So the
like
question
that.
Is, we yeah. just showed that graphic. Will we ever show that graphic again? Like, can he surpass what he did this past year, next year? Maybe a little bit healthier, has the band back together, familiarity, but it all went so well.
I know.
Last year.
Touchdown passes, I could see him challenging that.
Okay.
I can. I don't think,
though,
I would think that they're not going to want him to throw the ball as much as he did. I would think that they have found the way of balance and running and max protection. And
but what about just level of play? Now, outside of the numbers, like level of play at 44 years old next year, can he be better than what he just was?
I'm not going to say better, but I think he'd be just right there as good.
He can do it. You didn't see a drop-off because that's what we're looking for. You know, it's like at some point, humans drop off. But there's no indication that's coming for Tom Brady.
The only drop off is something anybody that's been listening, you've heard me say this, is just again his weakest moments, his worst plays are all the same thing. It's blitz, it's pressure. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to stand there and get crushed, and he bails out. We can go to the Green Bay 3 interceptions at the end, you know, in the third quarter, fourth quarter.
Those were not good interceptions.
Yeah, they're not good ones. Really, if you go to Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season, it's all blitz. Like, oh gosh, oh, I got to throw it away. Same thing. You know, you really look at any of his interceptions. I know everybody's not great under pressure, but like his is a little more where it's like, hey, I'm 43. I don't want to get hit. Get the ball out of my hands. I want to survive here. That's the only sign of slippage you see, and that's normal, and it's not to a point yet where I'm going, whoa, it's concerning. He's really affecting his team by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
No, so it's amazing what we're seeing.
Getting a little older, maybe forgetful on the down every once in a while, but very rarely does that happen to Tom Brady. So Tom Brady 10, people are going to look at that and be like, why do you hate Tom Brady? They're not going to have listened to what you just said here, which was 99% positive about the most accomplished quarterback that we will probably ever see. And it's getting you choked up at this point.
Yeah,
like, starting to get emotional.
You're funny. It is the most accomplished quarterback we've ever seen. There's no doubt about that. And he's, you know, you know it. He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest. I get it. You're not going to hear me say he's the greatest, but damn, he's good. Damn, I love watching him. Damn, I respect his approach. I love his edginess. I love how he talks shit to people still before games and, you know, let's fucking go and all that. I love it. I really do. So keep going.
Keep going.
Bay Buccaneers.
You're a great quarterback, but Chris would take 9 quarterbacks before you if he had his pick. And so we'll get to one more here on this show. And number 9 is a guy we saw only briefly last year, unfortunately, because he was off to an unbelievable start.
Dak Prescott. Don't forget about him just because his ankle was turned the wrong way, okay? All right? Don't forget. This guy, there is a side eye to me going, nope, I'm not accepting any less money than maximum amount. But to me, this is like the big soldier, the ultimate leader. I mean, just you go back and watch Dak Prescott, you don't realize how awesome he is until you watch. You don't realize that, man, Dallas Cowboys, they didn't have a prayer if Dak Prescott ain't in the game early on in the year. I mean, as I said to you before the podcast, I said, you know what's crazy about Dak Prescott? Forget this talent and that he's got. Again, I know we're in a run here of guys that are really had awesome years throwing the ball down the field. And I know Prescott only played 4 or 5 games. But they're a team, again, other than a slant route, they're looking to strike. They're not like – there's no like bubble screens and all that. They drop back and they want 20, 30-yard completions to their high-octane weapons at wide receiver and doing that. And he's amazing at that. He's like a Tannehill, like just there's never yards left on the field. It's never like, ooh, the guy's wide open down the middle and he had to turn around and he fell down and he went down there. No, it's on the money. The guy keeps running. It's a touchdown. He's great with that. The toughness, we know that. The athleticism, unreal. Here's the other thing that jumped out to me more than anything. You know, you've heard me say with some of these guys, like they got to have a feel of when to push the limit, when to take over, when to scramble. First off, I believe this guy has that, okay? And the other thing is he's got a great feel of, like, being stubborn in the pocket and going, I'm going to stand here because somebody's about to come open. And, okay, I know it looks like it's getting hectic, but I'm going to stand here because I can see he's about to come open. And he's great at throwing under pressure that way. But he's also got this innate feel of, like, oh, wait, the same thing's happening. And he realizes nothing's really going to come out. Like, nothing. There's no point in me holding it, tapping it this time. Nothing's going to come out. Let me run. He's got a great feel of, like, when to hang in there, and I'll just play in the trash, and I think I can make a throw. And then when to just go, wait, it's getting a little too trashy in here. Let me get the hell out of here and do something that way. And, of course, he's great on the run. So he's unbelievable pocket pressure thrower, But he's got more than that. And I know we've talked about some quarterbacks here on the list where you just go, you got to have that backyard element, make plays, do that thing. And he's got a great blend of both, and that's why they can be deadly on offense.
So this list is all about quarterbacks that you would take for this one season. He is coming off a major, major ankle injury.
Yeah.
Positive reports out of camp so far with him. He hasn't done everything. But he said this to the Dallas News. He goes, I've buried the injury. He said, I've buried it mentally, and I think you guys in the media and a lot of people around have to help me and bury it as we move forward. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore. He says, put that right on the tombstone. I will say there's a danger in that. We obsess about what we try to suppress. So there is a little bit of a danger. Don't try to not think about it, because then you end up thinking about it more. But it seems like he's got a good attitude, and he's got to trust the ankle moving forward, because if he can't do that, he loses some of that mobility and playmaking ability.
Yeah, it's where he's really damn good. He's a high-level thrower. He's got an aggressive mindset. He's a really good down-the-field thrower. He really is. And the ankle thing, I watched the clips last week when they're at their mini camp or their OTAs or whatever it was. You could tell it's still not 100%. But it's good enough. I take him at his word where he goes, if I had to play a game today, I could. He would. I don't know if he'd be able to turn the corner and maybe on a read option and run 20, 30 yards. But he could be effective enough.
And that's got to be so hard. Trusting, after an injury that, where it wasn't just, ligament. It was a compound fracture on top of a dislocation.
Right.
Just getting to the point where you just feel like every time I cut, I know it's going to be fine. But I guess it comes the more you do it.
Exactly right. That's all. You just got to keep doing it. That's why you practice. That's why you continue to do drills.
Did you have any teammates that were able to successfully come back from a gruesome injury that you remember?
Not that I remember, but you can block it out of your mind. There was this one guy, this dumb blonde from Jersey, who lost his spleen once.
Sure.
And but what happens is, you get on the field. When it starts to be competition, you got to think about what you think. I got to think about the play, the blitz pickup. I don't got time to think about, whoa, is my fucking spleen going to hold up?
Yeah.
Or my, he'll get to the point there where he's not going to worry about it. Where he's at now as compared to where he'll be 6 weeks from now when training camp comes and everything, he'll be another 10, 15% better than all those reps during training camp. They'll watch him during 11-on-11 drills a little bit and all of those type of things to where he'll continue to gain that confidence to where, he might not be totally 100% to start the year, but I don't think it's going to be far off from anything I've heard. He's got it all, man. He's a great leader.
Yeah.
There's another guy that's where it's like you got to give him something for what he
brings
to the football
team. From his rookie year.
With
Tony Romo there.
Right.
It was
that's
just
what
like
I mean.
People were like, we'll get behind this
the
guy.
The team
Dak
loves him. He brings an element to the run game that doesn't get valued enough. But you see this. When I went back again and watched last year a little bit, one of the things I did say to you, we usually don't talk much before the pod, but one of the things I did say to you is, he literally, in those first five games, he played two games. He had zero help at all. Zero help. It was the worst defense we had seen in the history of football when he was playing there early in the year. And he had games where he's playing perfect. He's awesome. He's on fire. You're going, what? They're down 28-10? You look at the score and you're like, all they've done, they drove the ball down. Somebody dropped a pass. They didn't get the third down. And you look and you go, whoa, they're down by 14. Whoa. He was the only reason they were in some of those games, let alone help them with those comebacks and everything like that. That's where he's special too. He's got great leadership that way. He is the guy you want leading your football team in so many ways, and I give him a lot of credit for that too.
He was throwing for over 400 yards, if you couldn't see it on YouTube there. He was throwing for over 400 yards per game in the four games. He was on pace to shatter both the records for attempts and yards. He would have thrown for over 6,700 yards if those would have held up. I guess the question, and Pete,
I think he would have broke the record last year.
You do
I
think
really
he
do.
Would have,
I really do.
That would have been the only way they could play.
I think it was. Exactly right. I think he would have broke the passing yard record last year. I do. Just with their weapons, his ability to throw the ball down the field, their defense was so bad that they had to always answer the bell. And, that's where, the games we're talking about, Atlanta, where they came back and won, and Cleveland. He's really awesome early on in the game. I mean, he's awesome. He's making great throws, great decisions, but their defense can't stop anything, and they're just getting blown out early on. So it was tough, but you saw the importance of him to what he is to that team. When he went out, they weren't nearly the same offense or as explosive.
Yeah, so we have that as well, because when we were talking about Andy Dalton, I was trying to talk up Andy Dalton, looking at the numbers and being like, all right, well, how much did they fall off after Andy Dalton, who you like and you think is still a good quarterback? There was a significant fall off, and we're seeing it right now. Points per game went down by about 8 points per game. Passing yards per game went down by about 200 passing yards per game. Yards per attempt down significantly. The touchdown to interception ratio was not as good. So there was a huge fall off, and I guess that's the question for the Cowboys now. It's like, you know, God forbid something happens to Dak again. You got Cooper Rush, Garrett Gilbert, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not great. You had Andy Dalton last year, and I think this is where we go back and forth a little bit. I might think about this a little different than you. It's like, we obviously see how important it is to have a good backup quarterback. Yeah. It's the most important position maybe in all of sports.
Right.
But I often think that if your starting quarterback goes down, you're probably screwed no matter what. You know, it's like, it's very rarely are you going to be able to salvage the year for an extended period. You know, it's like Teddy Bridgewater can come in for five games and give you five wins. But if Drew Brees was out for the rest of the year, do they really have the same ceiling?
No.
You know, no.
No, you're right. You're right. You want a really good backup quarterback if you got a really good team.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the Saints are that way. You know, Nick Foles of the Eagles back in that day. That's why you want it. Like, man, our team's really good. Mm-hmm. The quarterback's not making our team. Our quarterback makes us better, but we're really good even if we had a little lesser quarterback. That's where it is. And I think the Cowboys kind of thought they were that team before last year.
Sure.
Remember, they thought like...
I mean, in that division, why wouldn't you think
you're that team? But, of course, they had all the issues of the defense and everything like that, to where it was a year where, a good backup quarterback, but you need a superstar quarterback to help this team out. Mm-hmm. And we saw that. And that's where, you know... He's a difference maker that way. You say what you want. Again, that stat sheet doesn't even say it all. You know, he does justice to the offensive line. He makes Ezekiel Elliott in the run game better. Yeah, not only because of his passing, but of course he has much more of a running aspect to his game as compared to an Andy Dalton too. That helps out the rest of the running game and those things. You know, so that's where he's damn good. He's a legit threat. Like, once you get inside the 10. To keep the ball and run for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They can design plays, or he can scramble that way. So he brings a little of everything to the table. And I'm happy they got paid and everything like that.
Yeah.
And he's the man.
Did you ever take a victory lap on that? On the contract for Dak at all?
Oh, you mean the fact that I was kind of right?
$160 million deal. Right. 126 in guarantees. Puts him up there with the highest paid quarterbacks of all time. I feel like that's something that you said at some point.
I did.
Tried really hard to throw water on.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, Ian Rapshit, he said something. So that kind of, you know, started it right there. Yeah. He got called by the agent and said, you know, send out a tweet to, you know, dispel Chris Sims and what
he's saying. Yeah, he's wrong. Well, he didn't say how you were wrong.
He just said I was wrong.
He's like,
don't believe Chris Sims.
Don't believe Rapshit. All you were saying is that he didn't want the 5-year deal. Dak's side wanted the 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Guess what it turned out to be?
A 4-year deal.
4-year deal.
Yeah, what was that 4th year worth, too? It's like the 4th year deal, I think it's worth what? What did Chris say it was going to be? $45 million? I think it was.
Yeah. Did you take a proper victory lap on that or no?
No, I really didn't. But I'm calling him Rapshit right now, so that feels good. You know, so maybe I'll hear from him later today or something like that. I mean, it's all in good fun. I don't care that he did that to me, all that, but I am going to bust him when I get a chance every now and then.
Yeah. Pete cares.
Pete cares.
I care as well.
One more Rapshit. How dare he did that to me?
So Chris was right, although no one wants to say that now. But you were right on him. Hopefully you're right on Dak, because I think a lot of people would love to see him come back and have a – even if you hate the Cowboys, which a lot of people do.
I know.
You don't hate Dak Prescott, which says a lot about that
guy. Well, I feel like people – there was more of a negative aspect around him, too, before he got hurt. I feel like him getting hurt last year brought some of the Cowboy fans that were a little bit of the Dak Prescott haters to go, oh, wait, okay, yeah, he is better than I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
He is a little bit more important to our team than I gave him credit for.
Yes.
Yeah. Andy Dalton was not on the same stratosphere as Dak Prescott as a quarterback. And that was very apparent last year.
Yeah, and so one more thing, because Pete and I are still angry.
Yeah.
We have the highest paid quarterback contract through the first 4 years. Kristen, do we have that one yet? Here it is. And guess what? Dak Prescott's number one. Wanted to make him, you tweeted, wants to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And guess what? He got it. But I guess it was all false a few months ago.
Yeah.
We got to take a I think we got to do this every podcast.
Okay,
now.
Fine.
I want this to, if that get out, we're going to do it again.
Okay.
And again until it gets out.
I like that. I'm down for that.
Okay.
I can get behind that.
That is the Chris Sims Top 40 Quarterback Countdown in partnership with Woodford Reserve Bourbon. And by the way, Pete bought some Woodford Reserve Bourbon on his vacation. I buy it too, which, and I've said this many times, like I already drink it, so it's not that much of a reach. But if I did not, I would be a total shill for whoever sponsored this podcast.
Yeah.
Like people say, I only support products that I buy.
Right.
It's the opposite for me. Whoever wants to support this podcast, I will buy it. Like I will become your biggest fan. Like I don't care. I will sell out immediately, but it will be a genuine love because I will get into it.
Well, we got to get to the point then at least to where like you'll support it and we at least give you free something.
Well, that I would like to. Yes.
Come on, Woodford Reserve.
Yes.
I got a friend, okay? Yeah. I got a friend. His name's Ahmed Farid.
And Pete, throw Pete in there too.
Okay, fine. I'll give Pete Demolitis too. In fact, Pete needs two bottles cuz he's got a lot of kids that are running around.
He does. Yeah.
He needs to be double-fisted.
Yeah, Kristen, who's punching the buttons back there, directing
everything.
Oh, Kristen
needs whiskey. She's dealing with me every day. She's like, okay, give me another shot.
So a lot, a barrel.
So
we need a barrel.
Woodford Reserve.
We have the circle
we have
for
the
barrel
top.
So we just need the whole barrel. All right, a couple Ask Me Anythings. Let's go quick through that, and then we'll do the Super Brawl
eight through one
at the end.
Hey,
here.
Did you watch Novak Djokovic when the
No,
French
I
Open?
Followed it on Twitter.
Pretty cool.
People tweeting about it.
I just wanted to ask you.
He's good. He's one of the best now.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's going to pass Federer
and
Nadal.
Yes, he is.
How old is he?
34, I believe.
Oh, wow. So he's got plenty
of time.
That
was a cool sports moment yesterday, though, I thought. Sorry.
The comeback. I mean, he was down 2-0.
To love
is what you got. You got to get into the tennis lingo. Okay, so let's recap real quick what we've seen so far in the Chris Sims Top 40 Countdown. If you're watching on YouTube, there's 40 through 21. 21 is Jimmy Garoppolo. And I was thinking, last year, you had him right around 20, right? And I remember hearing from a lot of people in San Francisco that were up in arms about how he was just in the Super Bowl. How do you have him 20? You don't hear that as much.
I don't think I've seen anything like that.
Not a whole bunch. So that's 40 through 21, and here we are through 9 so far, starting with 20 at Cam Newton. We do have a question. We've gotten a lot on who you left off, and I kind of want to start there because I think it's the most interesting. Matt Geiger Real says, did you not see what Jalen did with the same offense that Carson Wentz couldn't do anything with? So a lot of people are upset that you don't have Jalen Hurts at all on your list of top 40 quarterbacks.
I know. I mean, I get it. Yes, there's some positives there for Jalen Hurts. It's not like personal to him. He's got, you know, a great way and leadership and charisma about him. I love the way he handles himself and answers questions to the media. You know, he certainly, the game was not too big for him. I know that. There's no doubt. You know, he is a good athlete. But, you know, again, I'm a believer as the more it would have gone on, the less good it would have looked. Just like we saw in the Dallas game, in the second to the last game of the year, I believe. You know, there's way too many easy slam dunk completions, bad decisions, things like that to where, he just is on the outside looking in. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I just got to see a little bit more before I could say he's on the level of some of these other guys. I understand his running's damn good. I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's so special that I look at it to go, it wipes away some of the other concerns I have.
Yeah, and that is by far the biggest name that I'm, because I'm tagged in a lot of the tweets that you and Pete send out. I see the responses on Jalen Hurts specifically. And 10 times out of 10, when I click on the profile, the people calling you out for bias against the Eagles are Eagles fans.
Yeah,
so they have a lot of bias for the Eagles.
I want to be like, why?
Yeah.
But because like I was literally the guy that most people would say I overrated Carson Wentz for a few years.
That's true.
You know, but that wasn't like hey, he's showing us great bias and loves us, there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. So that's where I just, you know, again, it's not personal to Jalen Hurts. There's definitely some things he brought to the table that were very good. But there's things I got to see there and definitely have to be more consistent throwing the football and doing things like that. And that's why I just, you know, left him on the edge. Yep. As soon as I got done with it, I mean, Pete will tell you, I kind of texted him like, man, no, there's no Eagle on the top 40. Like, I realized it. You know, I had a list of guys that were just on the outside looking in. And I was trying to make a case to put them in there and do that. But, yeah, we'll see. I just got to see a little bit more. If I'm wrong, you know I'll say it.
You did put Derek Carr in there at number 14. Anthony Bay says, hey, guys, love the detail you go in regardless of the topic. Thank you for the specific compliment. How much do you think John Gruden and his offense hold Carr back?
I don't think they hold him back. I don't. You know, I think maybe I could say if I was going to say anything, maybe their actions or their words they have said about Carr or not said, or just the perception they've put out there at first, to me would be the thing I would say that's if held them back maybe a little bit. You know, always having this pressure of everybody's going to compete for a spot on the team and we're always looking to upgrade. And, you know, you hear the rumors about, you know, quarterbacks they might draft or trade for. So I feel like that might have held them back to a degree. But right now, I don't think the offense is holding them back. I don't. I actually think Gruden's going to continue to bring the best out of them. And I think that's what we saw last year. To me, like you heard me say before, you know, I think Gruden was on him last year about being more aggressive, making more plays with his arm and doing those things. I think we saw the results of that, and I think that will continue, you know, as we see here in football. It's those kind of plays, those kind of quarterbacks that are winning right now, and they have some receivers who can stretch the field and do that. So, I think Derek Carr is playing really high-level football. I don't think Gruden's holding them back at all.
It was interesting hearing you talk with your dad about some of the things that Gruden would do that would make it difficult for you in the short passing game,
yes,
where there'd be a lot of short receivers,
right,
where the best way I'll never forget this now. You said the best way to throw short is to run deep.
Open the
patterns.
Field deep,
yeah,
right. You know, you know,
has he learned from that, or is he still doing some of that
stuff? No, they still do that. That's the way Gruden runs the offense to a degree, but he's got a great feel for it. He's got a really quick release, and he's really good at getting the ball out of his hands. And like I talked about that day, he can do different things, you know, throwing the ball that, you know, you might go, oh, that's a 5-yard completion. You might not get the appreciation of it until you watch film the next day to go, well, he did a good job of putting that right in the right spot and adjusting his arm angle to not get the ball batted down and still squeeze it in there and do that type of stuff.
All right. So that will close it on the homies questions.
Yeah, I the backlash for the Jalen Hurts thing.
Oh, that's still bugging you.
Well,
a
it
bit.
Always does. It just does. Because, like, I mean, you know, people try to make it personal with that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I just.
You're open to having him in the top 40 next year. Right?
I'm open to maybe him being there before this year's up if we do like the after week 10 type of thing.
Yeah.
But
this is a chip moment for Jalen Hurts. Hopefully he's watching and hopefully he's listening. This is where they say, I have a chip on my shoulder. This is where it comes from.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, listen, I played the angle of he got a little bit more of the benefit of the team played one way for 15 weeks, and then he got to come in and they played a different way that caught people off guard and that, right? Mm-hmm. He made some plays. I get that. He still went 1-3, and people talk to me like he went 3-1 and I'm blind. And I want to be like, it was 1-3. We can go through games, and I could just go, I know the stats were good, and this was, you know, they look good, but there was more there to be had. You know, they could have beat Arizona if he made a few throws and better. They could have beat Dallas and done those things. Instead, they got blown out by Dallas, like by 20 points, the Dallas Cowboys, the shittiest offense we saw on defense. So that's where I just go, like, what? Like, I just don't understand sometimes where – he's your starter, and I'm just – I don't know. I don't make him automatically top 40 or top 32 or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah,
all right, good.
He is not one of your top 40 quarterbacks that you pick for your team. Simple as that. All right. The final thing, and I'll note to Pete, too, I've lost my IFB. Something weird happened to my IFB.
Really?
Went crazy, got loud for a second.
And then it
– shocked me.
Yeah.
And now I've turned it down.
Okay.
Because I don't want that pain
to
happen again.
Well, if he needs to talk about anything, I got him.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters,
both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
But we just have one more thing to go here.
Yeah.
And it is, this is the big thing. I mean, this is what everyone's been waiting for. The final eight in the Super Brawl.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The Royal Rumble countdown. And now I do want to give thanks here, because where is it? It was a Twitter, Josh Mooney on Twitter had the brilliant idea to call it the Super Brawl instead of what we've been calling it, the Coach Quarterback Royal Rumble countdown, which is
And you're supposed to be good with words and slow and like but freestyle.
But not as catchy. So Kristen's rifling through where we've placed every coach and quarterback so far. So basically, if you're just tuning into this for the first time, what this is the quarterbacks and coaches from 32-1 who I think are most likely to win a fight. If they were in a bar fight, who would win?
I like it.
And so the ones on the bottom would not win. We're in the upper half here, 16-9. So these coaches would and quarterbacks would beat most of the other coaches and quarterbacks out there, I think.
I think my biggest discrepancy so far is the page before this.
What was that?
I think the fact that you have Dak Prescott and Michael McCarthy at
so
like,
low.
So low. Yeah. That's one where I just.
I'm more concerned with Dak trusting his ankle coming back this year than you
than
are.
I am.
So, yeah.
You're funny.
So now that takes us to number eight. And my wife watched the last time we did this.
Oh, yes.
And my wife. What'd
she say this time?
No, so this show, the last time we did it, because we didn't do it last time. We saved it for this time.
Yeah.
So she rarely watches, and she rarely gives me any feedback other than, yeah, I thought it was pretty good, you know, because she doesn't want to crush me. She knows how fragile I am. but last time she said, she goes, hey, it seemed like every time you named one, you were qualifying it, and you were saying, like, oh, I might be wrong on this one. I was like, you're right. I was like, I watched Chris do it. It's a talent. So you stand by your ranking. Of course there are going to be questions and people are going to say, hey, Jalen Hurts should be a top 40 quarterback. But I made the list. I'm going to stand by this list.
Right.
So I'm going to be more aggressive in defending this list this time.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Okay.
Number eight for me in the Super Brawl, the New England Patriots, Cam Newton and Bill Belichick. Cam Newton might be the one quarterback who you would least want to face in a fight among all quarterbacks
yes.
in the NFL
right
now. He can crush some people. He does it on the football field on a weekly basis. And Bill Belichick, while old, the second oldest NFL coach behind Pete Carroll, Pete notes here, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility he would come willing to kill people. You know, like win at all costs.
Whatever you got to do.
And so you cannot discount that.
I'm on to the Super Brawl.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So they're number eight on my list.
Well, I mean, Cam, yes. I think he's in the leader house for, like, any quarterback brawl. He'd probably be the guy you take.
You go, you're going to face an NFL quarterback, and then Cam shows up. You're like, I'm not digging this.
Bill's tough. I mean, and no, we know he's tactical. He's going to be the smartest guy in the ring. Like, he's going to be the smartest.
Yep.
Right? Probably going to have watched film of the other coach. Like, he dug up some film. It's got an eighth grade wrestling tape of this coach.
Yeah.
I saw his moves. He's fucked. I know how to do him.
And we talked earlier, like, you cannot look at tape of old things, but Bill doesn't care.
Bill doesn't care. He's gathering the information. So, yeah, I kind of like that. Bill's got, like, a little bit of the, you know, he grew up in, Annapolis, right?
Yeah.
A little bit in the Navy background. He's got
loves
some of that
military
toughness, yeah. things like that. Plus, he's tough. He's got that Eastern European blood in him where it's just, like, nothing ever looks like it phases him. So, I can get behind that. I can get behind a little bit.
They'd be higher if it wasn't for Bill, of course.
Yeah.
But even with Bill, top 10, and they're in the top 8 for me. Number 7. Younger pair, The coach is just 42 years old, which is crucial. The New York Jets with Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson. So Robert Saleh carries this team.
Definitely.
For sure.
Right.
Four-year starter at tight end for Northern Michigan. 6'3", roughly, Pete notes here. And Zach Wilson, he's not a small guy either.
No.
Like, he doesn't look the part as a guy who's going to want to really tussle because he's got a lot to protect from the neck up. You know, right. That's a pretty good-looking
face. Don't let the looks fool you.
But he's a young quarterback in this league and hungry to impress his coach.
Well, and explosive and strong. I mean, we know he can throw he's got a good arm speed, so he can throw a right hook make it hurt.
Good point.
You know, and he's fast and he can jump. He's got a nice pair of ass and legs on him. Uh-huh. So, yeah, if he's willing to take a few shots on that, you know, handsome GQ face he's got there, then that will be it. But like Saleh agreed, he's definitely one of the top coaches you would take in the fight for anything. I mean, yeah, football background, psycho personality to begin with, has a psycho vein that pops out of his neck that I can't not look at when I watch him talk, right? He's still in shape and muscular and everything like that. So I'm with you there. I think that's a sneaky good tandem right there. If you can just get past the, like, you know, Saved by the Bell Zach looks by Zach Wilson.
The only knock on Robert Saleh is, and why he wouldn't be higher on my list, is he seems like a super nice guy. Like, when push comes to shove, is he punching Bill Belichick in the face? Like, I don't know that he has that in him, you know?
He doesn't look that nice when his defense makes a stop and he's like, argh!
That's true. That's more motivational. That's positive motivation. Right. You got to have a nasty streak. Right. I'm sure he has it.
I think he's got it.
I'm not confident.
I don't think he could have got those guys out in San Fran to be so nasty on the field.
That's true.
He's got a little nastiness in him, too.
All right. The next combo, I know for a fact, and you know this coach personally, he has to have a nasty streak. The Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, and Brian Flores, who turned 40 in February, 6'2", played DB and linebacker at Pete Notes here, the prestigious
Boston College. Yeah.
Second on the team in tackles in 2003. He tore his quad muscle, still played. No,
ate
I don't think
his quad and kept playing.
Actually, he couldn't play in the NFL because of that. But I mean, Brian Flores carries this team. Tua's not a weak guy by any means. He's a big character.
No, yeah.
But Brian Flores gets them in number six.
Tua, good athlete. Again, like, got a little bit of explosiveness and, like, stockiness to him. Like, yeah, not going to be a pushover. Flores, certainly, towards the top of football.
Yes.
I would probably say, really, he's the toughest, for sure. Like, if you're going to be like, just who's the toughest guy, it's Brian Flores. I met Brian Flores because he was when he was in college. I didn't know anything about him. But my tailback from high school went to Boston College and played safety there a little bit, Greg Toll. And he brought Brian Flores home once in the summer. And, like, I came home from a workout, whatever, and they were at the house. That was my first time meeting him. Always knew he was tough from that moment on. He just, that day, being around him, he was one of those guys you just looked at and you're like, I'm not going to fuck with that guy. I don't know. There's something about him that looks really tough. And that's always
the way
been there.
He looks at me.
I always tell the story. I don't know if you've heard me say this, but when I was in New England, he was running the scout team defense, and the scout team defense wasn't ready. So he kind of had his foot on the football so the offense wouldn't go yet, right, because he was still getting things organized. And the center was kind of like pushing him off the ball and wanted the ball. I'm going to snap it, and the hell with you. I'm going to just call it. We're going to get up here and run this play.
Yeah.
And he kept moving the ball and, you know, like, not letting the center get it. And he kicked it out of his hand, I believe, and he's still trying to. And it became a little, like, scuffle. And it's like it was a deadlock. Yeah, he's starting all NFL offensive linemen versus, you know, some assistant coach. But it's just he didn't blink an eye. He could have cared less. He was ready to fight if he had to.
Yes.
He's as tough as they come.
And he will fight in this fight as well. I'm very confident of that.
Yeah.
But he's not the top five. The top five begins at number five with my Detroit Lions, Jared Goff, and the 6'5", kneecap-biting Dan Campbell, 45 years old. 10 NFL seasons at tight end with the Giants, Cowboys, Lions. This guy is a beast, and he's number five.
Yeah, I mean,
it didn't even matter who his quarterback was, to be quite honest.
Doesn't matter. And actually, the quarterback he's got has got size, and he is tough, we've talked about with
Smaller
Jared Goff.
Smaller hands, which is maybe a concern.
Yeah, but he is tough. I'll say that about Jared Goff. He could take a punch. He plays hurt, whatever it is. But, yeah, Dan Campbell, I mean, He's a Neanderthal. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And I mean that in like a really, really good way.
Yeah.
But he is straight out of a cave. I mean, yes. And he is like a specimen when you see him in person. Pecs, traps, big block square head.
Yep.
He was made for the super brawl.
And he's got the leadership ability that I think he could turn Jared Goff into an elite fighter.
Yeah.
Or at least better than half of the league.
Yeah.
Bite a kneecap.
I would agree with that too.
All right. Yes. So they're number five.
Yep. Okay.
Number four, your boy Blue. The Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, and Sean McDermott, who lacks some size.
Yeah.
5'10", turned 47 in March, but was a national prep champion wrestler in high school, as well as a safety at William & Mary. He's got multiple ways to beat you. And on his left shoulder, he's got Josh Allen.
They're a pretty good combo. This is one where you don't go, oh, one's got to carry the other or anything. It's pretty equal here. Like, McDermott's your Irish scrapper. I feel like it's Tom Cruise in Far and Away. Like, they always call him, like, hey, scrapper. That's who he is. He'd probably be like, let's just stand here and draw a line and punch each other. See who goes down first.
Yeah.
You know, the wrestling background, he's tough as hell. And Josh Allen, I mean, other than Cam, Josh Allen's second biggest quarterback in football, I think.
Yeah.
So if not, he's definitely in the top five. So that's a pretty damn good group there.
There are going to be people that think he should be number one. This tandem should be number one.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it with Josh Allen. He's taken hits and just continues to play. It's amazing. It would be like someone taking him down would be surprising.
Yes. I mean, the fact that like we have evidence of Aaron Donald not being able to take him down like on multiple occasions and a bunch of other big dudes. Yeah, I agreed.
But I have this next group a little bit ahead of them. The number three team in the Super Brawl, the Baltimore Ravens, and Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh. Now, John Harbaugh, 58, former DB, which I like. You know, I like the defensive guys. I think you got to have a little more aggression. I think that's what gives them the advantage over Dan Campbell. Big guy, offensive guy.
Yeah.
Defense is a different mentality
on
defense.
It is, and a special teams, too.
Lamar Jackson goes without saying, you do not want to fight him. Giant, athletic, could beat you multiple ways, could just crush you, pulverize you, and is quick enough to like beat you at any
definitely
move. And Harbaugh's a Harbaugh. They're insane.
Yes.
Harbaughs are clinically insane.
Yeah.
No, I don't know clinically, but they seem to be insane.
Well, it's borderline clinical. I think you're right. But I hear you there. I mean, they're definitely there's the top. Harbaugh is a tough SOB for sure. Lamar is tough. I mean, come on. Lamar has run the ball more in the first 4 years of his career than any quarterback in the history of football. We don't even see him. We haven't seen him get up slow yet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even see him get up slow. Nothing. Lowers shoulders, runs into crowds, tough as hell, strong as hell, explosive. All right, I'm down with that. I like your top five so far.
Okay,
I think you might be on the right track with the top five.
So number two, which we'll give away number one, but we don't necessarily remember who I've done so far. Number two, the Tennessee Titans of Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel, 6'4", 46 years old, 14 seasons in the NFL. 57 sacks, 762 tackles. Talk about a guy who's been in the trenches for years and years and years on elite teams. Mike Vrabel is that man. And Ryan Tannehill is no slouch.
No, he's not. Ryan Tannehill's 6'4", fast, you know, another guy, tough.
And wins, right? He's won in bad environments in Miami. They did better than they should have.
Yes.
And now he's winning in
Tennessee.
He's a winner.
I mean, Vrabel's got to be the king, right, of the coaches.
Hmm. You think he's like number one coach?
I got to think so. Vrabel is such a big dude. He's like Dan. He's Dan. It's like the same. It's just Dan Campbell, except he played linebacker.
Yes, you're right.
And now, so you give the defensive guy the advantage, like you're saying, a little bit more of a nasty craziness about them.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I look at him. Yeah, and he's caveman part two to Dan Campbell. I'm with you. Your top five, I'm not sure I'll order them all the same way, but I think it's the right five so far. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means number one.
Wow. And you went
with
it.
The first annual
Super
Brawl, the Pittsburgh Steelers of Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin, former football player himself, did play wide receiver. Mike Tomlin, one of the most intense people you will ever see in your life. We're revealing there the top eight. And the reason I put them number one is because when I was doing this in my head, I was envisioning a bar and a fight breaks out.
Yeah.
And who is standing there? Who's throwing the haymakers? Who's doing well? Who's at home in this setting? And there was no other pair that that made more sense in my head of having an all-out bar brawl than Ben Roethlisberger, who may have had multiple growing up and to this day. I don't know. He just seems – he looks like the part.
Agreed.
And then Mike Tomlin is one of the scarier, most intimidating guys. Like, at a press conference, he intimidates reporters with the way he looks. And so those two, in my mind, stood out as the ones who would excel in that setting.
Mike T, strong. He's intense. He's not afraid of confrontation, like you say, at the press conferences.
Yes.
He's motivational.
Yeah.
So he's got all of those things, let alone he's one of the younger coaches, and I do believe one of the stronger ones, too. And, yeah, I'm with you. I think when you add Big Ben to that, right, it's the best all-around combo.
You don't lose much either way.
You really don't. You're right. Like, yeah, okay, Mike Tomlin, I don't know if I'm going to take him against Vrabel or Dan Campbell. But I'm going to take Ben over the other quarterbacks.
Yep.
That's where. And like, I'm with you too. Barroom atmosphere. I'm expecting Big Ben to be a few pitchers in by already, so he's not even going to feel anything. He'll be able to just be like, punch me, go ahead. Oh, boom! I ate it.
Didn't feel it. And he liked it, and he laughed.
I think they're made for it. It just fits with the Pittsburgh mold.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. They wear black and yellow, and they will make your eye black and purple.
And don't discount the fact that they have been in the trenches with each other for a long time.
Definitely.
You
Super
have that
Bowls,
camaraderie.
Right.
Super Bowls.
They've won and lost.
It's like you hear people say, like, I will die for that guy. I mean, like, at this point, they've known each other for this long. They're going to take offense. Like, if Ben Roethlisberger sees Dan Campbell go over there and punch Mike Tomlin, that's going to raise Ben's game to a different level.
That's
you don't
right.
do that to Ben.
Yeah, you don't. You're right. He'll get all over him. Be like, that's my coach. I've been with him for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah,
right?
I'm with you. Yeah,
and
definitely.
He'll go super strength.
Yes.
So they're my number one. There could be some disagreement on that.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers, number one in this year's. Now, this could change.
Yeah.
Much like your list. Like, we're going to see him. We're going to see him on the field, see how feisty they are.
Right.
And then it could change going into 2022, but that is the list.
Okay, let me see the top part of the list one more time.
Who would be your number one?
I think you might be on the right track with your number one.
You might. Wow, I would have thought you would maybe put Allen and McDermott number one.
It's tough there.
Vrabel.
I mean, Josh and Big Ben are the same guy, except Josh is just younger. Yeah. I feel like in a lot of ways.
Then you got McDermott versus Tomlin.
And Tomlin and McDermott went to college together, too. That's just even crazier. There's actually a personal relationship there. No, I think I would have gone with Big Ben and Mike Tomlin, though. I like your list. I really do. In fact, I thought your top five, top eight was pretty good.
Pretty good,
there might have been a few guys down the list that I'd like to see where I go, I think you could have maybe got them in there. But for the most part, tell your wife she did a very good job accumulating the list. Really did.
I maybe gave too much love to Urban and Trevor Lawrence, unproven Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer.
He doesn't know what NFL fight coaching is all about.
He doesn't know what he's getting into here.
No, this ain't the Big Ten.
You're right.
It's the NFL.
You're right. Although he has faced Jim Harbaugh in the past.
He has seen
him.
He owns him.
All right, so that's it.
We did it, baby.
We've made it through nine on your list.
Yes.
And all the way through the
important list. We're all done. All right, you coming back Wednesday? Or are you ditching me?
I will not. Paul's back.
Oh, Paul's back. Okay.
You'll do eight through five.
Eight through five. Got four more coming on Wednesday. We'll see if we have Big Phil. I can make no guarantees as of right now. Continue to ask the questions, right? I'll continue to give you answers. I like all that stuff. Everybody, be good. Stay safe out there. Enjoy. There's nothing really to enjoy right now. Just enjoy my quarterback rankings. Peace out. Ahmed, you the man. Way to go. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.